What is going on, men? It's your boy Crimson. I wanted to play this for you. I wanted to play this for you because it's been dawning on my fuck. It's been pounding in my head all fucking day long. It's been bothering me.
As a Trump supporter, what makes you want to go to one of these rallies and try to take people out of context?
There's a black woman who is one of the founders of that movement.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Tamika Mallory, and she supports Louis Farrakhan. And Louis Farrakhan hates whites and Jews. Why would you support her?
That's BS. You know that, right? These guys are Trump supporters, by the way.
I got that.
Yeah.
Why would you support her?
How are you? What's your name, sir?
Trent, I'm just a producer.
Are you a producer?
Yeah, I'm a producer.
You have a card?
I don't have any on me today.
What's your Twitter? What's your Twitter handle? I understand. God bless you.
We're here just to have some conversations.
May I interview you?
We're here to have conversations, mm-hmm. And we're here just to ask people about why they're here.
Why's that?
We're not trying to troll.
All right, for those of you who have no idea what the fuck is going on, this is the Women's March in Los Angeles, and there's this fat piece of shit who's running around with a red MAGA hat and a red shirt on, and I'll get into the reason, like why a Trump supporter was in the center, you know, of, in the center of, you know, the Women's March.
Control this place. Right? We are literally just asking all questions.
Why?
Well, because it's a rally, and if people come down here to march for things, we have the right to be able to ask questions.
That's okay. Sure.
And you do have the right to try to interfere and stuff, but I'm
no,
just asking.
No, I don't want to interfere, actually. I don't. I just want to see where you're coming from.
Yeah, we're not trying to be agitated.
So that the American people have a sense of all sides of the issue. So,
absolutely, I agree.
So tell me about your show.
We're called the Fallen State Man, and all we try to do is address societal ills. We try to show people what the world's like outside of their home. That's it. That's literally it.
Okay. Tell me more about your program.
Yeah, I mean, it's host Jesse Lee Peterson, and we interview people from all backgrounds, and they don't always agree with us, but that's what makes for good conversation. We're here for conversation.
What is your perspective on the Women's March?
I mean, I won't give my perspective.
Why not?
I'm just a producer. I'm not the real talent of the show.
Yeah? InfoWars. What do you think about InfoWars?
I mean, I'm not big on them. I think they're kind of weird.
Yeah? Let me ask this guy. Sir, what do you think about InfoWars?
Take it at face value.
What's that?
You gotta take it at face value and do your own research.
You need to go away.
Why's that?
Because I'm black. You respect black people? Do you respect black people?
What do you think about the Women's March, sir?
Do you respect black people?
I respect everyone.
When you in my way, I'm black. You're discriminating against
me.
Right now.
I'm not in anybody's way, sir.
Why are you discriminating against me? I'm black.
Oh, come on, brother.
Why are you harassing me? Why are you harassing me? Are you taking it?
God bless you.
Why are you harassing a black man?
Can you tell me about the Fallen State?
Are you allowed to arrest a black man?
Can you tell me about your program?
Are you allowed to harass
you, my friend?
All right, so any case. That's me. I'm fat as fuck. I'm fat as fuck. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at it. All right, but this guy, right here, he was like trying to make it big on, he's trying to make it big on YouTube, trying to, you know, basically pander to the women. But I just want to show you that I was in the thick of it, right? Every girl there at the Women's March was telling me, don't you feel scared? Don't you feel scared being in the center of, like, you know, people who hate you? And I was like, no, dude. As a matter of fact, I've never felt this safe in my life. I feel safer here than I do out on the streets of Los Angeles. With or without the MAGA gear, I feel safe here. And the girls are like, why? And I said, because I know that I'm here to protect you. Like, I'm here, if anybody were to do anything to you ladies, like, I know I can protect you. That's not the point of this. The point is that I've gone to both sides and I've taken I've listened to both sides. I've taken the temperature of the climate on both fucking sides, man. The women were under this delusion that there's rapists around every corner. And the conservatives were under the delusion that women, right? That women were out to basically destroy America. But this is my point. This is my point. Is that I stepped out of my comfort zone. I stepped out of my comfort zone so that I can learn something. I can do something outside of my pain at the time. And remember, during that time, I was going through a really bad heartbreak. I was going through the most broken fucking, like, look at how happy I was. Fat motherfucker. I was going through so much pain at that time. I was so self-destructive. But I was doing something with my time and my energy other than just sitting in my pain. Now, why am I bringing this shit up? My point is that we sit here and we complain about, I mean, dude, I bet you anything right now. How many fucking videos of like women, of like compilation videos of fucking women hitting the wall have you seen today? Just reinforcing that stereotype, living in that echo chamber. Listening to video after video after video of guys watching videos of women bitching about their fucking dating life, bitching about being alone, bitching about men ain't shit, or fucking doing the yes queen bullshit. How many of those compilation videos have you seen? Where like guys are, you know, doing a cartoon version of themselves shitting on women. What, dude, okay. I did that for a year, so I can't be fucking talking shit. But my point is that I did other things with my life other than that. Undead Chronic helped me out. Taylor the Fiend helped me out. I know I just found out they're bumping heads. I have no fucking idea why. Nor do I give a fuck. But my point is that I did other things. I went to parent-teacher conference meetings to protest against the fucking gay agenda that they were pushing. I protested against, here we go. This took place in Brea, California. This took place in Brea, California, and what they were doing was one side was promoting illegal. Look, there I am, still wearing the same shit. My point is that, look, dude, here's a fucking another one.
Mr. Speaker, they won't let us in to see you. Mr. Speaker.
That took place in Southgate, California. It was Kevin DeLeon. He was going to, he was having a private conference with, that was the Speaker of California having a private conference with somebody else. And it was a public meeting. It wasn't supposed to be held at a fucking taco shop. But my point is that all the heads of the state and our city were trying to figure out a way how to get rid of ICE. Little did anybody know that the sheriff of Los Angeles, his name is Villanueva, something Villanueva. He was already on board with that idea of kicking out ICE from the jails in Los Angeles County, from getting rid of, you know, the illegal Mexicans. There was private security. Let me see if I could.
Yeah, they're gonna pick and choose who they're letting in.
That guy in the brown, he was actually it was a off-duty police officer.
Not letting in.
That dude with the blue dress shirt was also off-duty police officer.
Robin. Okay, not only that, but he said they're making room for constituents first, but two of the men in there are not constituents. One of them lives in Wilmington, and the other they both live in Wilmington. That's not in this...
So there you go. It was some James Bond bullshit that was going... Like, some James Bond villainy bullshit that was going on. And all we wanted to do was to hear... And give our input like the way anybody would at a city council meeting. But this city council meeting was being held at a fucking taco shop. So there you go. So this event was being held at a fucking taco shop, and those men that were off-duty police officers were only letting in, quote, constituents, constituents, and the people that were in there were from different fucking counties, completely, different cities, outside of that district. So it made no sense. So I put in my time. I put in my effort, my energy. There I am, being fat again. And again, dude, going through a broken heart, living out of a fucking car in the back of a church. Still putting in my time, giving my effort and my energy to the community that I was living in. Like, guys, you gotta do something with your pain. You can't just sit there watching video after video after video of women getting shit on, women getting rejected, women, you know, fucking going up to random strangers and asking, what, like... If you were to rate me, what would you, you know, come on, man. It's kind of, yeah, you know what? It's kind of funny. It's kind of fun. But how many of those videos can you watch a day? How many times can you watch that video where that chick is, you know, naked, hanging out of the fucking door, hanging out of the fucking car door, and she gets hit by the pole? Like, you got to do something other, you got to do something else with your time, man. And here's the thing. I see a lot of these mass shootings. I see a lot of the fucking school systems falling apart. Teachers getting beat up. Kids getting into fistfights. Murders. Fucking borderline assaults. And we're on here complaining and bitching that why the fuck won't these schools... why the fuck won't these schools... do anything. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Hold on, here you go.
Group of concerned fathers in Las Vegas taking school safety into their own hands with the permission of community.
By the way, this is the first time I'm clicking on this. I've never seen this, and this is in my town.
Leaders. It's called the Dads in Schools Organization. They aim for violence prevention through a physical presence on campus.
Yeah, and in the wake of 27 school shootings in America just so far this year, they say their mission is more urgent than ever. Joining us to explain is pastor and founder of Dads in Schools, Troy Martinez. Thank you for being with us. First, talk to us about what you do on campuses and about your approach. You call it prevention through presence.
All right. So using context clues, because I know you guys are smart, from what that woman just said and the title, you know, of the Dads in Schools, you know, work for safe spaces, you guys can use the context clues to determine where the fuck this is going. Look, here's another video. Breakfast with Dads. Hundreds of male mentors surprise Dallas middle school boys. What would it take for you men to do that? To mentor? I understand that you don't have your kids with you, or maybe you have a rocky relationship with them. But this is your chance, your opportunity to do something with that energy. To give to someone else what no one gave to you. To give to your community and do something with that energy, with that pain. What would it take for you to go to that school and teach these kids, like, hey man, you don't prioritize women. You prioritize your studies and you prioritize your wealth and your future. Do not prioritize women. How interesting. I wonder what that dynamic would look like. What the temperature, what is it, the atmospheric temperature of that would look like. And what I mean by atmospheric temperature, I mean, like, what would the future of America look like if you, as a man, with your broken heart, took all that pain and transformed it into something beneficial for the future. Instead of just sitting and watching video after video after video of guys shitting on women. Like, dude, I can't tell you how important it is for you men to get involved. Okay, you made the wrong choice. Okay, you're in pain. But I've never known a man to sit with this pain for long. I've never known a man to just sit there and hurt forever. You guys have to. It's important. It's detrimental for the future of America that you get involved. That you take all that fucking pain that you have. All that fucking struggle that you have. And invest it into something else. Other than just looking at women and hating them for what they are. Because I guarantee you that one of these days, You're going to pass up on a moment that could have defined you for the rest of your life. You don't want to fucking be on your deathbed thinking to yourself, I could have been something greater than this. I could have made a deeper impact. I could have done something more than just wallow and sit with my pain. Don't do that to yourself, man. I was fortunate enough to wake up from that spell when COVID almost fucking killed me. I remember even the day before. No, I remember it was Thanksgiving and I was coughing and coughing. And a buddy of mine told me, dude, how long have you had that cough? And I was like, I think like a week now, dude. And I just can't shake it. And he's like, yeah, it sounds pretty bad. You should get it looked at. And then the next day, or I think about 3 days later, we had Thanksgiving dinner somewhere else, and I could not fucking get up. Could not walk. I was struggling and I was thinking to myself, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, I'm just sick. And my buddy's family, they're all nurses, so they all took zinc, which protected them from me, right? Being deathly ill. I walked in, I grabbed my meal, I sat down, and I felt completely exhausted and drained. And later that night, I could not fucking breathe. I was coughing up nothing but phlegm, and every time the freezing cold air, every time I would try to breathe in, the freezing cold air would shut, would just shock my lungs, and I would cough even more, whatever oxygen I had left in my lungs, and every time I would compress my lungs, nothing but fucking huge chunks of phlegm would come out. And it felt like suffocating. And I just remember pounding on my seat because I couldn't get my breath. And I realized that at any moment I could fucking die. And so I did. I wrapped a sweater that was freezing cold over my face, grabbed my car keys, and I crawled out of that car into the back of my trunk to grab a burner, a stove, and bring it back into the car. And I crawled, and it took me about 30 minutes. And I was thinking to myself, this is it. This is how I die. I crawled back inside my car, lit that fucking stove. And I just remember as the temperature warmed up in the car, I slowly started to fucking feel sleepy. And I realized that, dude, this is going to cut the oxygen away. So I turned down the heat. And the next day I woke up and the sun was just peeking right over this apartment complex. So it was like touching my eyelids. And I remember waking up with just soreness, groggy and pain, limp, thinking, thank fucking God I'm alive. And I could not get up. I couldn't move. I looked at the stove and the burner, and luckily it didn't fucking burn through anything. It ran out of gas, and I died. Or excuse me, it died, right? I realized that if I didn't get up then and start my day, I was going to be late for work and not be allowed to continue working for the day. And I needed to work. Needed to be in there by 1 o'clock, and it was 9 a.m. And I fucking did every ounce of strength that I had. I used it to get up, drive to Planet Fitness, take a shower, change my clothes very slowly. And by the time I was in my car and driving to work, it was already 12:45. That's how fucking long it took me. And every day since then has been fucking beautiful. And I remember looking at myself in the car thinking, this is it. This is how I die. And then I thought of all the shit that I did during that time period. The drinking club I was a part of at the time. Or that I once was a part of. The protests that I went to. Parent-teacher conferences, the teachers that I talked to, the people that I met. I did a bunch of amazing things, and I just remember thinking to myself, if I were to die right now, I lived a good life. I gave it my best. I tried so hard to fight for this country in my own way. That's what I want for you guys. That's what I want for you. A fellow fucking man. To think about when you look at yourself in the mirror. Instead of thinking about when's the next roast of a woman. When's the next video gonna pop up of these women fucking up. You know, it. It's good to laugh the pain away. But what else is there? What else is there past that? What is beyond that? And I'm telling you, men, is that you're wasting away your talents, your energy. You have no idea how important it is. Your energy as a man means more than you understand. One fucking glare from your eyes puts kids in their place. One fucking powerful voice, you know, one powerful fucking line. Like today, this poor kid, he was counting. I could see him. He had a dollar in his hand, and like he's just like, "Hey, ma'am, all I got is $1.60. Could I buy some gum?" She's like, "Well, if you can afford it, you can get it." And he's like, "I'm gonna be about 50 cents short." And I was like, "Hey, dude, what's up? What did you want to get?" "I just wanted to get a pack of gum." I was like, "All right, hey, do me a favor, grab the biggest pack you can find, all right?" He's like, "Okay." "Well, you want anything to drink?" No, "I'm good." "You sure?" No, "All right." So I ran up my shit, ran up the gum, and I, you know, pulled out $5, and I gave him the $5 plus the pack of gum. He's like, "Oh my gosh, thank you," and he tried to give me his money. He's like, no, dude, it's fine. "You're good." And he's like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, you're fine." Now check this out. In that story, I didn't tell you his race for a reason. Because he was with the girl, right? I'm assuming it's his older sister. But he was very well-mannered and well-spoken. Very, very soft. You could tell that he just didn't want to raise his voice. But check this out. You're going to be able to guess you're going to be able to guess his fucking race. Because when he stood next to this woman, "Oh, fuck, man, get the fuck away from me. God damn, you always on my ass. How come you always so goddamn close? Damn. The fuck you ask him? What you asking him for? Would you... Dude, I turned around and I just looked at her and I gave her this fucking glare like, "What the fuck are you yelling at him for?" And she stopped. And then, you know, when I went to go get a drink, we kind of plot cross paths and he tried to give me his $1.60. And I'm like, "No, dude, it's cool. You keep that." And on my way out, I looked at the cashier, who was fucking hot as shit. I just said, "God bless you, sweetheart." And he turned to me and he goes, "Hey, man, God bless you." And I looked at him and I'm like, "I'm already blessed." I said, "I'm already blessed, kid. I'm alive, aren't I?" And I smiled and I just pointed at him and he's like, "Thank you again." And I walked out. You want to know why I did that? It's because I was there. I remember telling you guys this story before, and I'll probably tell you a quick version of it because I need to go to sleep. Got to get up at fucking 2 a.m. to do, to finish my shift because this fucking job sucks dick. I was living in my car, and I had $3 in my name, and I couldn't buy a fucking thing. Couldn't buy food. There was Jack in a Box, the dollar tacos, and I was sick and tired of eating junk food. I wanted food. Home-cooked food. And I couldn't fucking buy chicken. I couldn't buy fruit. I couldn't, because everything was just so overpriced at that time. Fucking apples were $2.60. One fucking apple. All I could, and I, even if I wanted to get a fucking small bag of chips, but what was it? It was 2:09 at the time. So that means I wouldn't be able to get a drink. Bottle of water was about 1.69. So that means I wouldn't be able to get food. And what did I settle for? Those disgusting fucking dollar tacos at Jack in the Box, which I refuse to eat now. And I understand where contentment comes from. I fucking bought those disgusting ass fucking tacos. And one of the ladies hooked me up. She gave me one of those little Jack in the Box burgers to sort of like change the texture of the palate. I asked her for a cup of water, and I fucking scarfed those things down, knowing that I was, how do I explain this? Knowing that I was going to, knowing that I was going to need to shit later, and I didn't have any place to do it. Well, I did find a place to do it. It was a porta potty that somebody else had on their property that I broke into. Any case, I'm telling you this because that life that I lived fucking sucked. It fucking sucked, dude. And yet I still put in my time. I still try to do other things with my life other than have a broken heart. I can't tell you how many times I look into my comment section and I'm just, fuck, dude, there's one dude in particular I just, fuck. But my point is like, you gotta do something else with your time. As a man, it's short. You know this. You're not gonna live as long as a woman. So you need to do something with it. All that pain, turn it into something else, man. Don't let it define you. Don't let it cripple you. Because now that woman and that pain is winning. That woman and that pain are fucking living rent-free in your head, just repeating the same fucking song, repeating the same message. You already know what propaganda is. And that's all it is just your own propaganda on repeat, keeping you fucking sitting at home, broken. Don't let it do that to you, man. Go donate your time the way that these men are doing to try to keep school safe from fucking gang violence and gun violence and all this other shit. You'd be surprised what your presence can do to brighten up a kid's day. You have no idea what it means to have a young man see another older man in his presence. It means a lot. Still means like that. It still means a lot to me today as a full-grown adult. You know, whenever an older person calls me son or kid, the first thing I want to do is I want to prove to him, like, nah, dude, I'm not a kid. I'm a fucking man. And I'm going to show you. That's what it does. You guys need to really take the time to feel what your real worth is. Because all these women and all this propaganda, dude, it's a mask. They're masking their fucking pain. They're masking, you know, they're pretending that they're something that they're not, and they're masking it by saying that they're so great and they're so good and they're so fucking amazing and this and that. But the moment that you sit down and actually ask them what makes you so great, they don't know how to fucking answer that, because they've just repeated that message, that slogan, that empty slogan for fucking years. Well, I'm great because I'm just great. It's just fucking narcissism. It's childish narcissism. It's like tier 3 narcissism. Excuse me. Tier 1 narcissism. It's like the bottom of the fucking barrel. Motherfuckers that not even narcissistic people want to be around. They sound like children. Why? Because you pay your rent on time? Because you fucking... You know what I mean? because you got yourself a fucking nice car that you can't afford? Can't tell you how many times, dude, I went through my mailbox, and apparently the guy that lived in my apartment, you know, before I did, guy got himself a Lexus, and it just past due payments fucking from the Lexus dealership. So he lost his apartment and the Lexus. I mean, this is what they're trying to fucking promote to you guys, is live outside your means. Live a life of decadence instead of living a life of humble servitude. I really hope this is sinking into you, man, because I can't tell you how many times I read the comments of other videos other than my own, and it's just, I'm just, what, like, is this it? Is this MGTOW? Nothing else but just a bunch of broken men leading another bunch of broken men and watching video after video after video. I mean, in the beginning, it's funny. It's fun. But there has to come an evolution. There has to come a stepping stone. We got to do something more than that. We can't just be known for a bunch of guys that just shit on chicks, because then we're no different than the women who fucking have those talk shows and just shit on fucking dudes. We're no different than them. You know what would make us different? Oh, they got a broken heart, and now they're trying to fuck, and now they're giving their time to other kids, to mentor other people, to not follow in their footsteps, to avoid fucking women like us. And then what are those women going to do? You know, those women are just getting rich, and that's selfish. They're not donating. They're not doing shit. Kendra, that chick who's like, got that talk show? Yeah, okay, she exposes a lot of women for being fucking stupid, but ultimately, she doesn't really do much with their money. She doesn't really provide anything for the black community at all. I don't see any Hispanic chicks doing that shit either. And then again, they're like a step above MGTOW, because at least they're giving something to somebody else, in the sense of, like, you know, this is what to look for, look out for. You know, this is the pain, this is the struggle. These are the crazy motherfuckers to avoid. You know, just giving us material, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. For example, Kendra showed us that one woman who said, I'm looking for a stepdaddy before my man dies. She's like, what? What do you mean? He's not dead yet. She's like, yeah. Like, so your man's not dead and you're looking for another guy? She's like, yeah, you need to keep one in the, you know, keep one in the chamber. You know that. She's like, what the fuck? Are you serious? She gave us that, but what else has she given us, really, as men? Shit that we don't already know. What has she given us? I can't tell you, man. I can't tell you how it feels when you go to a protest and you change somebody's mind. You'll never know what that feels like. When you get the other person to see things from your lens, because you took the time to humanize yourself and get them, you know, and see things through their lens. And you really, at the end of the day, you two have a lot more in common than you would imagine. So here's the thing about women that I realize that I have in common with them. Guarantees. We don't have enough of that in this world. A man can't guarantee a woman's financial safety, and a woman can't guarantee her heart to you, and we're both being led by the same propaganda. One side is telling us that we can't make it as men, And the other side is telling them that they're not going to be able to depend on us as men. That they got to do it on their own. And what is the propaganda that we get? You got to do it on your own. You got to live alone. You got to be alone. You got to do this alone. And forever just be alone. But you still got to honor marriage. How the fuck does that make any sense? They're telling these women that that men are looking for, you know, status and all this other bullshit and money. But now that you're making six figures, you got to get a guy that's making seven figures. How the fuck does that make sense? And they're selling these women this delusion, but to us men, we don't have any propaganda like that. We don't listen to shit like that. You know what we do? We watch videos of women getting shit on. We go to work and we fucking crack jokes all day. You know what our propaganda is? Which company's better, Chevy or Ford? Chevy. That's our fucking propaganda. Is the Silverado better than the Raptor or the Ranger? Oh, that's our fucking propaganda right there. And then we sit on our deathbed just thinking about shit that we could have done. I don't want that for you guys. And to the man who says, like, all I do is just, I spiel fucking negative reinforcement and all that crap. You know what, man? Done enough original content to know the difference when I'm calling something out and when I'm just shitting through my teeth. So far, I haven't seen you do any of that, man. All I've seen you do is just shit on other people in the comments section, not posting anything original. Any case, man. I know it's fucking hard. Especially to get over a broken heart. It's not fucking easy, man. But you have to. See that kid right there? Right here? Down there? Hey, why you need a tribe? There you go. How to get one? You gotta build one. I can tell you that. It's not easy. I learned it by making Sons of Liberty. Nobody wants a leader, but they want a leader. It's fucking dumb. But you see that kid right there? Those dads right there changed that kid's life. Because, think about it. You were him once. You were gliding through fucking class. And you probably, at one point, felt like you had nobody to turn to. That kid now feels like he has somebody to turn to. That guy that he's talking to may one day be somebody he looks up to. Be somebody he aligns himself with enough to say, you know what, I want to be a little bit like that guy. Food for thought. Guard your heart.